Hey, we're going to 2 Corinthians chapter number 3 this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter number 3, verses 7 through 18. And the title of our message today is Take Off Your Mask. Now, don't decide what that means yet. Hang with me. In fact, one of my nephews saw that online this morning and texted me just a bit ago and told me, good job on the clickbait. Well, that wasn't really our intention with that. But anyway, it's a little creative note in the title. But I want to read to you from 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 7 through 18 to begin. And perhaps even as I read this text, that title will start to make sense to you. And it'll come together as we look at God's word. It tells us this in the third chapter of 2 Corinthians. Now, if the ministry that brought death, which was engraved in letters on stone, came with glory, so that the Israelites could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of its glory, transitory though it was, will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? If the ministry that brought condemnation was glorious, he's talking about the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? For what was glorious has no glory now in comparison with the surpassing glory. And if what was transitory came with glory, how much greater is the glory of that which lasts? Therefore, since we know that the glory is greater now than them, therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. We are not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to prevent the Israelites from seeing the end of what was passing away, but their minds were made dull. For to this day, the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed because only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, who with unveiled faces reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Come on, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank You. We thank You for Your word once again. I pray, Lord God, as we consider this the magnitude of Your glory at work in our lives today, I pray that it will equip us as Your church. Give us understanding with regard to Your word, to apply it in our lives in the name of Jesus. Church, would you pray with me? You can pray for home as we pray from home as we pray. Father, speak to my heart through the preaching of Your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. You go up on the mountain and talk to God. We don't want to go. You go up on the mountain and talk to God. That's what the people of Israel said to Moses. The presence of God was on the mountain. The glory of God was on the mountain when Israel had come up out of Egypt, and it was up on the mountain that Moses would be given tablets of stone and would receive the law and the old covenant, and Moses would go up there and experience the presence of God. But the people were frightened by the presence of God. There was a cloud over the mountain. There was thunder. There was lightning. They were in awe of it, but in a fearful way. And rather than go with Moses to experience God, they would say to Moses, you go instead. You go up on the mountain. You find out what God says. Then you come back and tell us. Now, it's not what my sermon is on today, but don't live your Christian life like that. Don't live your Christian life like the pastor is who goes up on the mountain to bring you back a word from God. Believe me very much, it's the desire of my heart to bring a word from God when I preach God's word. But you go up on the mountain yourself and get a word from God as well. You go after God on your own and spend time in His word and grow with Him. But Moses would come down from the mountain and he would have been in the presence of God and have experienced the glory of God, and something unique would happen to him when he was up there. When he would come down, his very countenance would be different. In fact, he would shine. He would glow. He would light up. The glory of God was so significant upon him. So what he would do when he would come back down from the mountain, the people couldn't look at him. They couldn't look at his face because his face was too bright. So he would put a veil over his face so that people would be able to look at him to shield the brightness, to shield the glory of God. Now, the word glory in Hebrew literally refers to a weight or a heaviness that would come. But as a biblical term, what glory really refers to is the manifestation of God's presence in a way so that humans can see it. I'm going to say that again because you need to remember that today as we walk through this. Glory is the manifestation of God's presence. I can't see God. God is in a realm where I cannot see. But when God manifests his presence, when he manifests himself in a way that I can see what he has done, that's God's glory, the manifestation of his presence. So the light on Moses' face when he comes down from the mountain, that's God's glory because now we can see the effects of the presence of God on his life. Moses would experience in that way. We still can see God's glory today. Anytime you see Jesus in someone, that is the glory of God revealed in that individual. Anytime you're in a situation where you see what God has done, that's the glory of God being revealed. And God's glory is demonstrated in many different ways. In the first century, after Jesus had ascended back to heaven, and the disciples went out after the day of Pentecost and were preaching the gospel. And Peter was headed into the temple one day, and there was a lame man, a crippled man there, and he was healed. And Peter and John got called before the council of religious leaders for that, and they were upset with them over what was going on. And they interviewed them. They asked them questions about what they were preaching and the miracle and what was happening. In Acts 4:13, it says this. It says that the leaders, this is in the context of interviewing Peter and John, it says that the leaders took note that these men had been with Jesus. Now, Jesus wasn't there anymore. Jesus had already died, been buried, resurrected, and gone back to heaven. But in the interview now, they took note that these men had been with Jesus. That's the glory of God being revealed. They could see the effects of the presence of God in their lives. Well, the Bible teaches us that before we come to faith in Christ, that it was like there was a veil over our hearts. Just as Moses wore a veil over his face, there was like a veil over our hearts before we became believers in Christ. But when we come to faith in Christ, the veil is lifted and God's glory is revealed so that we can see him and see better and he can be seen in us. And it's revealed in the sense that we're then able to see God at work in situations that before we never would have even seen it before. Now you walk outside because you're a believer and you look at a sunset and you're like, wow, the glory of God. Now someone shares a word with you in season that equips you and helps you know what to do, and you're like, the glory of God. You just start to see it. God provides supernaturally for your need, the glory of God. You get healed, the glory of God. The veil is lifted, and we begin to see God's glory when we walk with him in our lives. It's manifested in so many unique ways, and it's revealed in that we see what he's doing. What was previously unseen is then seen. Think about it like this. Many of you passed through last Sunday for the baby shower for Hector and Melissa and baby Ian. And God bless you for that. I know they were showered with blessings, and that was wonderful. But long before the baby, when Hector first started having feelings for Melissa, when he first started looking at her and she was catching his eye, he started feeling a certain way toward her, but she couldn't see it. She couldn't see how he felt inside. Until he started doing other things. Maybe he got her some flowers. Maybe he hung out and talked longer than he used to talk. Maybe he wrote a little note for her. Maybe he took her to a fancy restaurant like, I don't know, Burger King or somewhere, one of those, where is it else? He took her out for pupusas or something, and he picked up the check. He paid the check. And he started to do these things. And what happened is he started to do these things is although before he already started to feel for her, but she couldn't see it, now she could see the revelation of what was unseen is what happened in a relationship. It happened in your relationships as well. It happened in mine, obviously. There's a display, a show that takes place that's a good example of God's glory revealed. You can't see the glory, but you see then the effects of it, the results of it. And when Jesus comes and lives in your heart through faith in him, no one can see him. When you begin to trust in Jesus Christ, and if you've never put your faith in Jesus Christ, if you've never asked God to forgive you of your sins and invited Jesus to be the Lord of your life, you need to. You need to. You don't just need to be watching services and trying to feel a little better about yourself. You need Jesus. You need to believe in Jesus. Jesus needs to be the Lord of your life. That's what Jesus wants. But when we do that in our lives and we commit ourselves to Him, no one can see Jesus when He lives in our hearts through faith. But of course, what happens then is, the presence of God through words, through deeds, sometimes even through the supernatural. People can't see Jesus literally in you, but they see the manifestation of the presence of God in your life. I can see the glory of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in you as you follow Him. Church, church, I hope you're with me. I know you're with me. If there was ever a day when the world needed to see the glory of God, It's 2020. It's our day. Now, I know they've always needed it, but come on. We live in a nation and on a planet and on earth. We live in a... People need to see the glory of God revealed in the lives of believers in our day. People are looking for hope. People are looking for answers. The political leaders aren't going to give that to them. It's never going to happen. The government, infectious disease experts, pharmaceutical companies, I pray for all those entities. I hope they'll do well. I call them out before God as well. But that's never going to give them the hope that they're looking for. They're never going to be able to reveal the glory of God. People are looking in hope in every direction. And here's the thing. People are looking for hope, something to hope in, and you have it. You have it. 1 Peter 3:15 says this specifically. You have hope in you. Come on. That's what it says. You have hope in you. Point at yourself. Go ahead, right now, wherever you are, point at yourself. Are you doing it? If you're doing it, nod your head. Well, are you nodding your head? I can't see you. I don't know if they're doing it. Yeah. So anyway, send me pictures. So you have hope in you. It's in you, and the world is looking for hope. Now imagine something with me. Imagine a scene with me today. We've seen some crazy headlines in recent days. These have been crazy days to live through, obviously. We've seen some frightening headlines in 2020 altogether. We've seen them. Worldwide. Over 16 million people have already tested positive for COVID-19, for the coronavirus. We don't know what the number really is, but that's how many we have positive tests for worldwide, over 16 million people. Worldwide, close to 650,000 deaths are connected with this disease worldwide. In our country alone, in the United States alone, over 4.3 million positive tests and right at 150,000 deaths that have been connected or linked to this disease. In Brazil, nearly 2.5 million positive tests, 86,000 deaths. 46,000 dead in the UK, 43,000 dead in Mexico, 35,000 dead in Italy. The numbers are staggering. They are frightening to see. But can you imagine this with me? I want you to imagine a scenario. Can you imagine if you got up in the morning and you went online, you opened a newspaper, you opened up Google, wherever you are, you looked on Facebook, and if the headline said this, can you imagine if you opened it up and it said 33% of the population of Rome is dead? Now, we've seen some frightening headlines, but we haven't seen anything like that. We've been wrestling over numbers of like 4% of the positive test or wherever, trying to figure out where they fall. Can you imagine if you looked on and it said 1/3 of the population of Rome was dead? What a headline that would be. Can you imagine such a story? Well, it happened twice. It happened twice. It's just that it happened before Google. It happened before Facebook. But it's happened to them twice before. It happened in the year 165, and it happened in the year 251. Twice, Rome was hit with pandemics that were so severe that on both of those occasions, 1/3 of the population was killed from the pandemic. I can't even imagine that. They were decimated. Here's what happened in 165. Here's what happened in 251. Historians tell us when it happened, the wealthy people of Rome fled the city. When everyone started getting sick and people all started dying, you know what the people with money did? They got out. Of course, we saw that happen this time as well. They went and lived on their yachts. They hung out in their vacation homes, whatever else. They got out. They fled the city. They escaped. Historians tell us doctors left patients dying in their beds. Economic and political leaders retreated to their second homes. And historian and professor Rodney Stark, he's 86 years old today, he's written much about the growth of Christianity in the world. Not as a believer in Jesus Christ. Professor agnostic said when he wrote the book, The Rise of Christianity, speaking of himself, he said he was incapable of faith. He just wrote it from a historical perspective, from a perspective of history. And when he wrote The Rise of Christianity, he was trying to study and figure out, why did Christianity grow so fast in the world? Why do so many people believe in a man who died 2,000 years ago? Why would so many people still be following this to this day? And when he studied the rise of Christianity in Rome and in the world at that time, he found a number of things that he attributed it to. He wrote of how the church treated women as one of the things. In a day where women usually weren't much more than property, he said the church elevated women, and that was very appealing to people and helped the church to grow. He wrote of the church's nonviolent response to persecution. But here's what I want you to catch today. In the rise of Christianity, he wrote of Rome's, of the church's response in Rome during those two pandemics. And Stark said this. He said, when the wealthy fled the city, when the wealthy left the city for their personal safety, Christians stayed in the city to serve those who were in need. And the world saw it. They saw the difference that Jesus made in people's lives. People witnessed the compassion and the service of believers, and they also converted to Christianity. Friends, the glory of God was revealed, and it impacted the city, the nation, and the world to this day as the church rose up. It's time, church. It's why it's so important in our day for the church to serve. It's so important for us to be the hands and the feet of Jesus, to demonstrate the love of God through acts of compassion, to reveal the glory of God. Now, I want to give you a couple of things, but they're just a couple of minutes each. They're very quick, so hang with me here. Hang with me here. I want you to catch this about God's glory in your life. God's glory is transforming. God's glory is transforming. In the Bible, we read about one of the evilest people who ever lived from what we can record about her. The Bible tells us the story of an evil woman. Her name was Jezebel. Jezebel was so evil that to this day, when a woman is evil, sometimes, come on, people will still think of her. They'll call her a Jezebel. The name became synonymous with being evil. Jezebel was an evil woman. She was able to pull some strings. She was in a position. She got into a place of authority, and she was a brutal leader. She was terrible altogether. Jezebel was an evil ruler in Israel. But it finally happened that someone rose up to overthrow her. Elisha the prophet went and anointed Jehoshaphat's son, Jehu, as the new king. And Jehu, the army rallied around him, and he began to take over the land. And what would happen in a transition of power in this day is Jezebel was not going to go quietly. She would be executed for what she had done. It was treasonous what she had done, she knew that. And as Jehu went around and they took over the military and began to take control of the kingdom, Jezebel got word that Jehu was coming to the palace where she was. He was coming there, and she knew why he was coming. She knew, he's coming here to kill me. He's coming here to kill me. But look at this verse. Look at this verse in 2 Kings chapter 9, verse 30. 2 Kings chapter 9, verse 30. It says, then Jehu went to Jezreel. When Jezebel heard about it, she put on eye makeup, arranged her hair, and looked out of a window. I don't know. That's got to be one of the most amusing verses in the Bible to me. She knows that he is coming to execute her. So what did she do? She got up. She got dressed, she put her makeup on, and she did her hair. It's important to look nice for the execution, I suppose. So she fixed herself up. But here's the thing. Jezebel may have made herself look nice, but guess what? She was still dead. She was dead on the inside, and she'd soon be dead on the outside. It was just a show. It was a mask. It was just fake of who she was altogether. It wasn't anything real in her life. But friends, the glory of God is not a facade. The glory of God is not a mask. The glory of God is not makeup to make you look better. It's not another hairstyle. God's glory is transforming in our lives. It's not something to cover something up. It changes us. It changes us. We do look different. It's what happened with Peter and John. It's what happened with those believers in Rome, and it's what happened in you and I as well. In our text today in 2 Corinthians, we read that we are being transformed into the image of Christ. God's glory in you is changing you. It's transforming you. Catch this as well. God's glory is increasing in you. God's glory is increasing in you. The way God revealed himself in you when you began your walk with God isn't the same way God reveals himself in you today, and he will reveal himself in increasing ways in the future. That's different than it was with Moses. Moses would come down from the mountain. The glory of God would be upon him, so he would put a veil over his face. He'd put a mask on, if you will, to hide the glory because it was too bright. But as the days would go by, the glory would start to fade. After a couple of days, he wouldn't need the veil anymore because the glory of God wasn't there anymore. Now he could take the veil off and he would be fine. You are the exact opposite of what happened in Moses. In fact, if you've ever wondered what it was like and ever thought, wow, must have been amazing to be with, what it would have been like to be with Moses. Would have been incredible to go with Moses up on the mountain to see the things Moses saw. That must have been something. I can assure you, if you could ask Moses, he would say, it must be incredible to be you. To be you. Because the glory of God faded in Moses' life, but in our life under the new covenant, the Bible tells us that the glory of God is ever increasing. It's more and more in our lives. We're brighter now than we used to be. This past Christmas, my sons gave my wife and I one of these Facebook portals. It's pretty cool. We set it up in the room, and you make FaceTime calls on it, or I don't know if it's through FaceTime. Anyway, you make calls through people, and you can see the camera. You can ask my wife how it works. So we have one of these portals. It's kind of cool because when the portal is on and I'm talking to my son, I can walk around the room and the camera follows me. I even try to trick the camera and stuff, but it's kind of hard. It's pretty smart. So the camera follows you around. You can talk to him. But when you're not talking on the phone, it just kind of, it scrolls through like it's a picture frame, like a digital picture, and it shows your Facebook pictures and it has the time on it. And it's a very practical device all together. And we set up the Facebook portal. It's cool. Like, oh, that's cool. This is really nice. And we called them and all. That's great. And then we went about our day, whatever, when we had come home. And that night, we turned the lights off to go to bed. I turned the lights off to go to bed, and it's like somebody put a spotlight in my bedroom. I mean, that thing was so bright. It was like the light was, now it was already bright, but I couldn't tell it was bright because the lights were on. It was on the brightest setting. So we had, of course, turn it down and dim it. But when I turned the lights off and it got darker, now it's like it was brighter than it ever was. That's what's happening in you in this day in 2020. That's what's happening in me. As the world gets darker around us, you shine brighter. The glory of God increases. Your setting's getting turned up, not down, to where you're seen as different than others who are around you. Praise God. Paul said it's an ever-increasing glory. The old King James Version, I memorized most of my verses from the old KJV early on in my walk with God. It said that we're being changed from glory to glory. Come on. From glory to glory. From one level to another level. God wants to reveal himself through you in the remainder of 2020 in ways he's never revealed himself through you before. God wants to demonstrate himself through you over the next year in ways he's never demonstrated himself through to you before. Your level of glory is transitory. It's going up. It's increasing in your life. You say, wow, the things God did, that was amazing. God wants to be brighter and do more things in your life as you head forward as well. You have his word on that there. And then let me just give you this last thought. Final thought, God's glory is to shine. It was never God's plan to hide his glory. He wants it revealed. Story is told in 1 Kings of Israel and Judah going out into battle together. In fact, I preached from that account one time here in our church in 1 Kings chapter 22. I want to show you what happened as they went out into battle. Look at this verse. It says, the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, I will enter the battle in disguise, but you wear your royal robes. So the king of Israel disguised himself and went into battle. He didn't want to be seen is who he really was. But God doesn't want us disguised in the battle. The Bible refers to our walk with God in with military terms. We're in a spiritual conflict. We're in a war. When we head out into the world each day, God doesn't want us disguised from who we truly are. We're children of the King. God wants it evident who we are, for it to be obvious who we are among those who are around us. The world needs hope, and God's plan is for that hope to be revealed to them through the lives of you and I, through the lives that we live. SSA, in the midst of a tough season, as a church collectively, we are the glory of God. We're shining in this day. We really are. We really are. As a church collectively, I know that always there's more that can be done, but we're shining. And you've been amazing as a church. As a church, you've been amazing. Your level of generosity, your faithfulness in prayer and service and looking out for each other, it's been amazing. Since the lockdown has begun, God has used us in some incredible ways beyond simply streaming our services. We've done so much more than that. The production team that's in here for these streaming services, as I say that, they're killing it. They do an amazing job, and I appreciate them so much. Our worship team has been so faithful, but there's so many more things that have gone on. Our community has needs in this season. People have been out of work. People have had their income reduced, and through strategic partnerships in this season, just since the lockdown, I think we have a slide with the number. You might be able to see that at home as well. We have given away... we've distributed over $21,000 worth of food since the lockdown, right here out of SSA. We have distributed over $21,000 worth of food to our community in this season, praise God. God has used us in that. Even with incomes reduced, and even in our church's income is not the same as it was a year ago. It's slipped as well, and it's not that we're hurting. You've been faithful. God bless you. When I say that, I'm not bluffing you. You've been amazing, but even in a season where things are slipping, we've managed to stay faithful in all of our mission support. We've even done some extra things to help others in this season in our areas of missions giving, and in fact, just since the lockdown, I'm not talking about all year. I'm just talking about since the lockdown when it came in March. Just since then, we have given away over $18,000 to outside missionaries and missions organizations as a church. We've done that just in this season, praise God. Praise God. When we do that, we are shining to our community. We are shining to the world. I want to encourage you to let God use you to continue to shine to all those you encounter. Be the light of the world. If there was ever a people who knew about wearing masks, we do in 2020. We know more about masks than anybody ever knew about them before. When you go in the grocery store, wear your mask. When you can't social distance, wear your mask. That will be my advice to you for your natural one. But in the realm of the spirit, no mask. No mask. Take it off. Let the glory of God be seen in you. Don't be someone different. People need hope, and they're going to see it in you. They see it in us collectively. They'll see it in you personally. Be a light in the darkness. Be an encourager. Be one who brings hope to the hurting. Be a friend to the lonely. Let it be said of you. Let it be said of me what was said of Peter and John. You can tell he's been with Jesus. You can tell she's been with Jesus. Praise God. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for God's glory. Maybe, Herbert, you can come, or the worship team even can come all together if you'd like. That'd be wonderful. I want to pray. The Bible tells us there in that text that we have ever increasing glory in our lives, that we are being transitioned from glory to glory, from glory to glory. So whatever level of glory you're at right now, I want to pray for God to take you to the next one. Wherever you're at, we're at all different levels in our lives, but if we're going from glory to glory to glory, I want to pray for another level, a new level of glory for us as a church, and a new level of glory for you in your life. That is to say that God will reveal himself, he will manifest himself through us in ways that he never has before. He will increase in ways that he never has before. Hallelujah. Come on. Do you want that? I believe you do. I believe you do. Let's pray. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your work in our lives. We thank you for your work in our lives. We thank you for your faithfulness, Lord God. We thank you for all that you do, Lord God. It's our prayer. It's our prayer that what you're doing in our lives, that we would go from glory to glory. That you would do in our lives what you're famous for, as we sang this morning when we opened. That you would move. We've heard, as Habakkuk said, we've heard of what you've done in the past. But God, we want you to do something new in our lives. We want to go forth and bring the hope of the world to those around us in our lives, Lord God. Wherever we go, whoever we encounter, our neighbors, our coworkers, our friends, on the phone, Lord God. I know we interact with people differently these days than we used to, but people need hope. May there be an increase of your glory in our lives, we pray. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus Christ, thank you, Lord God. Hey, can we end today just with a song of worship? Can we do that? I know I didn't tell you that ahead of time we're doing it. Maybe how great is our God, if that's what you're playing. Let's worship along to this as we close. I want to encourage you, be the light of the world. Be God's glory revealed this week. God bless you. Let's worship together and we'll close out with that.
Our God.